Today's Watson Weekly is a special edition that is one of a series of three interviews recorded at Shopware's Partner Day on April 24th, 2025. These were recorded in the basement of a German beer hall and restaurant, so I think those interested in the digital commerce complexity of serving manufacturers and distributors should find it a lot of fun. Hi, this is Rick Watson. We're here at Shopware Partner Day here in the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. We're excited to be here with Jason, Ben, and the whole gang here. And we're here with Carrie Weinbach and Chris Harrison from Ascend. And I'm trying to pronounce it as a New Yorker, Ascend, but...
Yeah. Yeah,
we're going to pronounce it the right.
As a New Yorker, Ascend.
Right.
And as a Midwesterner, we say Ascend.
Ascend. Yeah, so we're here at the event, and I would love to, first of all, thank you for coming on and spending your valuable time with us. So really appreciate that. We want everyone just to be comfortable, talk about things you know and love. And so that's really our goal here. So I just wanted to start with the beginning for Ascend. What's the, why does the company exist?
Yeah, so both my business partner and I have been in this industry for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. We have a very deep history as solutions integrators in the e-commerce space, but we wanted to do something different, and we founded Ascend to work with brands who start with a purpose, who are on mission. And we find that companies that start from that foundation have an easier time prioritizing their decisions and focus, and also getting the entire team behind that purpose, mm-hmm. and tend to be more successful.
Right. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, and that's how Carrie and I have become aligned. I mean, we both really believe in the importance of purpose. I think it is true that those organizations are better run, better organized, make better decisions. But I mean, personally, it's also more enjoyable work. You know, you really feel good about what you accomplish.
Right. And so you're designing commerce solutions for customers. I mean, it's a complex undertaking, and you're doing it in industries that, I don't know, have resist, not resist is probably the wrong term for technology, but it's harder to work in these categories than category where there's no regulation or other things to think about.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So you have to be more creative and a little bit gritty to solve difficult problems, mm-hmm. in this space. Before we started this, I was telling you about my experience with regulated industries and how, mm-hmm. challenging that can be. I spent the last 5 years working with AB InBev, mm-hmm. The parent company of Anheuser-Busch, and their global e-commerce. They started out having a partnership on Adobe Commerce. Mm-hmm. But over time, they became very frustrated, because they had to customize so much into the platform that it became non-performant. And then, you know, Adobe always takes a percentage of sales, and that became cost prohibitive for a global company like AB InBev. And so they ripped it out and customized everything. Had they known about Shopware, I didn't know about Shopware 5 years
ago. At the time, right.
Right? They really could have saved millions, because it allows you to use their rule builder and customize in such a way to work around the regulations.
Right.
So that's why at Ascend, we've become a Shopware partner, and we love the platform.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's definitely probably something Ascend really appreciates about the platform. And so I would love to dive into kind of the regulated industry aspect. We, at RMW Commerce, we recently wrote a report that was sponsored by Shopware on what we called speakeasy commerce, which is like commerce in the backroom categories that aren't sort of always out in the open. The rules are sometimes opaque, and they're changing. And they also mean that your commerce needs to work differently than, you know, the Amazon app in your pocket. right? You just can't work that way because of either multi-tier distribution with governments or regulations or compliance and healthcare and those sorts of things. So I would love to like stick to one category for a moment and maybe talk about your experience with AB InBev. Like when they came to you, beyond the technology frustrations, what were their goals for their customers?
So their goals for their customers really were to do a digital transformation. Mm-hmm. Prior to having online commerce, they did everything with, you know, sales reps, mm-hmm. feet on the street that would go into the grocery stores or the restaurants or, you know, the corner kiosk and count inventory and take the orders one at a time. And it was very inefficient.
Right. Yeah.
So their goal was really to efficientize that experience and put the power in the hands of the customers to allow the customers to order what they wanted, but also give the customers data and analytics about purchasing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I guess going a step below that in terms of the category itself, what are some of the regulations that make it challenging to just do business in the category?
So the United States, the way beer is sold is very different than it's not sold the same everywhere in the world. And in the United States, you have distributors. Mm-hmm. So almost all the beer has to go through a distributor. And then it's, you know, through the distributor, it's sold to the customer, which is called a POC or a point of consumption mm-hmm. in the industry. So there's multi levels. And mm-hmm. so you have to deal with very complex pricing from the distributor down to that end customer. So building an online system that can handle that is very data intense in terms of pricing and
right.
inventory.
And now, are you designing in interfaces and workflows that work at every level of that
yes.
system?
Yes.
So like, give me an example of something that like an experience that AB InBev needs for its own employees. Let's start there.
They need to see those levels in mm-hmm. through the administration system and see that hierarchy from the distribution down to mm-hmm. their end customers and their locations and that pricing and that relationship.
Got it. And where's the source of that data? Because obviously commerce is a recent phenomenon, especially these sort of digital commerce tools and platforms like Shopware and other yeah. companies. But as you said, people have been doing commerce for, you know, since the invention of fire or, you know, whenever. But so like, where are those rules live?
In different places. So AB InBev purchased a lot of different breweries all over the globe. And so each of those different breweries have different ERP systems and different back-end systems mm-hmm. that are very complex. And so what we did is we obfuscated the middle layer and mm-hmm. created different microservices for us to be able to manage that data through different endpoints, similar mm-hmm. to how Shopware works and where it's all API driven. Mm-hmm. So, and then in that middleware, you can finesse the data, you can normalize it, mm-hmm. you can put rules around it to make sure that, you know, the data is not breaking things.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of fascinating for me to follow just all the different levels in what we're talking about here. Let's like go one level down to the distributor.
Yeah.
What does a distributor need to see? And because you're like, you're kind of yeah. the middleman here, right?
Yeah.
And so you need to see information and workflows on both sides. Like, how about like back upstream towards AB InBev, for example, and downstream toward their customers? Like, what do they need to see?
They need to see inventory, shipping availability, all of that kind of stuff to know that they can order the quantities they want. And they need to see the rate at which their customers are buying so that they can plan ahead.
Got it. And then in B2B commerce, we're always talking about obviously transactions between businesses, but increasingly consumers are becoming involved, whether it's a special event or like a sporting event or things. Are there consumer touch points in the journey, and how are they represented?
There's consumer touch points in the journey with reward systems, mm-hmm. and, you know, giving the end customer, you know, whether it's swag, like, you know, everybody wants a Budweiser hat or a Corona t-shirt and things. So they incorporated a reward system into the online purchasing system, you know, where you could get that kind of swag so that you could give it away to your end customers mm-hmm. and engage them in the product. It's also education, right? You want to educate everybody along the chain so that they know your products.
Right.
I mean, like many things, the pandemic really shone a light on the lack of first party data.
Right.
When you're working with these companies and the pandemic happened, they all panicked. They're like, we're never going to sell beer to restaurants again, right? Restaurants are all going to be gone and we're never going to sell. What are we going to do? Because we don't know any of our customers. So a lot of these regulated industries then made a lot of investment in, okay, how do we have more touch points? How do we better connect with our customers? You know, how can we get first party data so that we're not, you know, at arm's length from our consumers?
Got it. And as you work with Ascend's customers, like, I guess, how do your roles differ? Obviously, you're managing the whole ship. And then as far as your role, Chris, like, at what point do you get involved? Is it during the architectural and kind of rollout side of things? Yeah.
And the commerce strategy. Uh-huh. I mean, the creative teams are great, but I'm a commerce guy. That's what I do. Uh-huh. I do implementations where the rubber meets the road and things are binary and they either work or they don't, right? Either orders are flowing or orders are not flowing, right? And so that's where I get involved is, you know, how do you set your strategy and your roadmap? And then how do you build teams and organizations where things can thrive?
Right. So there are a lot of customers that I think want to digitize, but they don't know. You were saying before, Carrie, that people come with a big list of things that they want to do, but the list is not very organized and it's not very prioritized. Right. A lot of times you're like, you have a flat list of things, or if it is prioritized, of course, everything is number one.
Yeah, always.
There are 100 priorities and 95 of them. I'm like, usually the first day I go into a client, you're like, you can only pick 10 number ones. And I'm like, and it comes back, there are 90 number ones. I'm like, did we not just have this conversation? So how do you work with customers on this prioritization step?
Yeah. So we like to focus on needle movers. Mm. What are the features? So first you have must-haves. Right? Like you cannot operate your
legal,
business.
Regulatory, security.
Yeah. The must-have list, right? And so that's like, those things are like always above the line. You have to have them. And then you look at like, what are needle movers? What are things that are really going to make a conscious impact on your business that are necessary for it to function at a high level?
And how do you help unpack the needle movers, Chris?
Well, so I'm very analytical. So I like metrics and I like KPIs, right? And so if we can get into the data and see what is going to move the needle for your metrics, it really helps. I mean, it's funny you give that example about the spreadsheet of requirements. I actually had one where we had 634 requirements.
Oh my gosh.
And there were 587 that were high.
Well, of course, everything's high.
Right. So I got kind of famous in one of my implementations. I said, look, you can call them hippos, giraffes, and elephants. I really don't care what you label them, but we only have so much capacity and we have to figure out what's going to fit into that capacity.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an interesting point. And I don't know, one thing I find, especially in the mid-market of these customers, is the times where the business throws the project over the wall to the IT team, and you lose the ability to talk about what those needle movers are, and how do you know what good looks like? Right. How do you know what done looks like? How do you bridge that gap between the various parts of the organization that might have goals, Carrie?
Yeah. You want to take it? Yeah.
Well, I had a client actually who instituted a policy that if we couldn't measure the value of it, we weren't going to implement the feature. Unless we knew and we actually had the feature to measure the value of it, we weren't going to implement that feature. And that drew a very bright line around you really had to understand the value of it before you got started.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And if you don't understand the value of it, you might want to wait till after go live and test it.
Right.
Because testing is a very low cost way to see what's going to happen with a feature, how it's adapted to the market. And there's a lot of things you can learn by testing something. I can't tell you the number of times I've worked in an organization, you know, and somebody in leadership is like, you know, I love blue. It's got to be blue, or right. this is the best design for us.
Right.
You know, this is the one we got to do. And I say, I'm sure you're right, but why don't we check with your customers?
Right.
Why don't we put this out there and see what wins? Let's ask them.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up some super interesting points because testing experimentation is often a little bit forgotten about, especially if you see the transformation or at least parts of the transformation as a project, which means projects have a beginning and an end. What am I testing? It's done.
Yeah.
And so
it's never done, Rick.
Exactly.
It's never. And if you think you're going to do an e-commerce build and you're done, You're mistaken. It needs to be a living, breathing, changing environment every day because we're always learning.
Right. And is that a battle for it? I would say battle is maybe the wrong word, but is it like, it seems to me you have to tackle that journey up front.
You have to set proper expectations with the client.
And if you develop that culture of measuring value, then, and you were talking about this earlier today before we came into the interview, you get executives who want to continue to invest, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're demonstrating the value, you're measuring the value. If you're just pumping out features and you've got a PowerPoint with a list of bullet points, there are a lot of executives who become, you know, jaded to that list pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But if you're pumping out PowerPoints with, you generated this much more revenue and this much more margin and this much repeat business and lowered our cost of acquisition by this amount, right? Then you continue to have the ability to grow and thrive.
Absolutely. And at Ascend, we have a conscious commerce maturity model that has 5 different levels. So we always start with level 1 and make sure we're accounting for all of those basics before we try to scale too fast.
Right.
So you got to walk before you can run. You need to handle the basics first. Right. And so we're very intentional about how we work with our clients to grow. We're focused on growth all the time, but not too much all at once.
Right.
And so oftentimes I find that we're convincing them to slow down a bit.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's fascinating. And I think as we kind of like wrap up, you know, our conversation and we think about 2025 and what it means for your current customers and customers you like you have and the things, like, what are you looking to learn today at the Shopware event?
Yeah, go ahead.
What I've seen in this market is uncertainty and then reluctance maybe to make decisions and move forward. Because people feel like I'm going to make a decision and then tomorrow there's going to be some new order or some government agency is going to get wiped out and then I'm painted into a corner. And so what I'm looking for is agility, right? And that's an often used word, but it's even more important in times of uncertainty is the ability to have some agility. So if you make a decision to go a certain route and then things outside your control change, the ability to move on and make different adaptations.
Yeah. How about you, Karen?
Yeah, no, and I think Chris made a fantastic point, and that's why Ascend became a partner with Shopware, because it's open and composable, and you know, you're not locked into a SaaS platform. You can make changes based on how the world is changing.
Yeah. And I think that changing world, that's going to be definitely, I think, be a theme today. And I appreciate, you know, your vision for evolving a customer in the direction of you know, bringing value to the world. We talked about conscious commerce and purpose-driven commerce. And, you know, I think that's really admirable in the world we live in. So I really want to just thank you for, I guess, for your company and your time here today.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks so much.
Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. Our production partner for the series is Podcasts on the Fly. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.